everybody, and welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matthew Cole Weiss, and
Theo Vaughn,
who is fresh from coming back from New Orleans where he recorded his Netflix special. Yay!
Thank you very much. Cheers. Yeah, very exciting. Had a good time. And it'll be out on Netflix. I'll let you guys know when. I'm not sure. December, maybe January, but it was a success.
But we have someone even cooler than him in the studio.
We do.
Today.
Trumped by many folds over.
The lovely, amazing, beautiful star of one of my favorite movies, Run Lola Run, of all time, Franco Potente. Amazing movie because of. Just not only your performance, but it for me personally, it kind of opened my eyes to filmmaking, too, and just like what was possible as far as storytelling and manipulating time and just cool stuff. So
I think that's true for me as well, actually.
This is one of those moments like I'm excited that I'm friends with you. You know, like it's one of the people that you like. It's
me
like
too.
Really cool for that reason. Anyway, but you've been in other stuff, and you are here today to be our guest judge and our interviewee subject.
That's right.
And we're gonna go. Theo and I are gonna go at it again. And see who's gonna take this one down.
Jesus. Well,
I like your facial expression.
We're staring
at each
other.
You're really like serious right now.
He's been on a little bit. I feel like he's been getting the best of me here.
Oh, he's already trying to get the.
But he's gotten the best of a lot of young men in this town.
Okay, so our first round is Tales from the Wood, and we're each going to tell stories about either our experiences from our life. Could be in Hollywood or it could be in general. And we have 5 minutes to do it. Do you want me to go to first, Theo?
Let's go first today, man.
Okay. So 5 minutes on the clock, please, Andrew. And we are going. So I don't know if you know this about me. I have an arch enemy in show business. It's called craft services.
Mm.
And for those who don't know, craft services are like the food that they set up when you're filming something that you could just munch on. And it's normally like candy and like Pop-Tarts and things like that. So when I directed my first movie, I was so stressed that I just ate so much. And then when I directed my second movie, I was even more stressed that I ate so much. And then I was on TMZ, and before I realized it, I was 210 pounds.
Yeah. He was, you had a very Rubenesque period.
I saw a Rubenesque picture.
Yes.
You look very cute, though.
Oh, thank you very much. This is how I look all the time.
they called me Fat Matt. I was Fat Matt.
Oh,
and the thing is, I didn't know. I had no idea.
What, that like, your name rhymed with fat?
No. That I was overweight. In my mind, I genuinely thought
That's reverse anorexia.
Yes, it completely is.
It's not really, doesn't happen a lot in LA, but people have it.
People have it. And yeah. So what I used to do, and Theo loves this, is I used to get my own ice cream cakes from like Carvel.
Love Carvel.
Oh, they're the best. The cookie puss and like everything like that.
Only pussy ever got.
Yeah. But I would go and have them, you know how you can write like happy birthday on it or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, I would have them write notes to me like it's okay and you're a good guy. So when
Love
I
that.
Ate the entire cake by myself, I would look down and at least it said, you're a good guy, Matt, and everything's going to be okay. This is a true story. So that also helped me get to 210 pounds. And so then when I was on TMZ, even seeing myself on the show, I didn't realize it until I dated this guy. And so this guy and I were dating, and he wanted to go skydiving. So I've never gone skydiving.
It's an expensive date.
Yeah, well, we were dating
right?
for a little while.
Super high maintenance.
Yeah,
what?
That's like a honeymoon where I'm from.
I wasn't worried about the
push present.
The expense. It like we had to drive like 2 hours to like Barstow, California. That was the part that pissed me off. Whatever. This was a nice, sweet young guy, and I would have done anything for him. Anyway, so we get to the skydiving place, which, by the way, how Hollywood Mandy Moore does the introduction video to teach you how to skydive.
Wow.
But you have to be a certain weight so that you can't, you have to go, if you're going to have tandem, someone with you on it, mm-hmm. you know, first time you have to go with someone, you have mm-hmm. to be a certain weight. You can't be over like 230 or 40 pounds. And so they have a scale.
Oh.
And so they say to me, get on the scale. We'll see if everything's okay.
Wow, it's so LA.
I know.
I just thought that too. I was like, what? And then how terrible on a date. Like,
on
that's
date.
Too much information.
That's better.
Isn't it?
Way too
So much. I said, what are you talking about? Like, I'm like 160. Because like I said, I was in my head, I thought I was.
You forgot.
You couldn't see.
And they said, get on the scale. And I was like, all right.
I would have taken my shoes off.
I get on this. Oh, I took my wallet out.
All those coins.
Yeah. I took out whatever I could. Yeah, exactly. My glasses were off. I was like, that's a third of an ounce. And it was 210. And that's when I had this freaking aha moment where I was like, holy shit, I'm 210. So I turned to the guy I'm dating.
Wow.
And I said, I'm 210. I had no idea. And he goes, I did.
Wow.
I don't know if I appreciate that honesty.
And that was at that moment I realized that he was a chubby chaser, kind of, I was the chubby.
You were the chubby and he was the chaser.
And he was the chaser. So I had this chubby chaser moment. And so I was like, oh my God, I got to get myself into shape. And so literally over the next year and a half, I kicked my own ass to lose 60 pounds, which is very LA, but it's very
that's a lot of weight.
And then when I was on TMZ, here's the kicker to the story. I told the story about Carvel. The next day, they sent 3 Carvel ice cream cakes to the office that said, "You're a good guy, Matt. It's so true." And I was like, I had a very torn moment because I still love ice cream cakes, but I was on this strict diet of whatnot. Do I eat them or do I don't? But the answer was given to me because at TMZ, we were not allowed to receive things for free in the mail, like, because it would seem like we were, you know, promoting something. The bottom line is they threw out my cakes.
No way.
They wouldn't even let me keep them.
Can you take a picture and send it chubby chaser?
Because we're not allowed to take free things. Like, it was promoting Carvel or whatever. So I had to see my cakes in the trash that said, "You're a good guy, Matt. So
it's so poetic,
all
though.
It is. It is very poetic, actually.
So that was a very...
What happened to the chubby chaser?
Yeah, what happened to that young guy? And he sounded like he was very young. Was he of age? Because you made him sound young.
He went to USC, so he was in college. But he actually broke my heart. And he broke my heart. And he broke up with me. Not because of this, but he told me he did something terrible. And I said, what? And he wouldn't tell me.
He sent those cakes?
He wouldn't tell me what it was. And so he
what a teaser.
And
that
he never
is.
I think he just
teaser.
Wanted to make himself like more interesting.
Maybe.
Or give himself an edge.
I completely think.
It's like Grand Theft Auto or something, you know.
I struggled with it forever. Like,
you know what I did and then never say what it is.
That's exactly what happened. Never talk to him again.
Wow.
So that's my story. I guess it's kind of a downer.
Yeah, it wasn't a good story. I'm just going to throw that out.
No. Are you kidding?
Okay. I'm
cheating. That included skydiving. Carvel.
It included a big fellow weigh-in and almost, I feel like, pedophilia, because that boy sounded very young.
No, he was of age, and this was a very big moment for me. I lost all that weight, and, you know.
Thank you for sharing. I think that was a great story.
TMZ,
I had a lot of good pointers in it.
They called me Droop Doggy Dog on TMZ.
What?
That was my nickname that a fan gave me because they wrote, there's that cartoon character, you know that?
Yeah, Deputy Dog.
Deputy Dog or whatever, and they did a side-by-side of me and that, and they called me Droop Dog.
Well, you look great now.
Thank you.
You look great.
All right, that's my story.
Okay.
Theo?
Franca, since I know you've been in some action films that are some favorites of mine, some of the Bourne films. And
he's screaming me up already.
If people would call Blow an action movie or not, but I'm going to tell an action story that happened to me. So I grew up in a small town in Louisiana. And they had this girl in my neighborhood that used to sometimes give out a little bit of, she was popular in town for kind of oral sex, usually, when we were young. Okay? When we were young.
How young?
15, probably.
Oh,
and how
girl.
Old were you?
I think I was 15, too. Like, we were both just
he
kids.
He was 28.
She wasn't popular for it. I think she was the only person that allegedly had ever done it. So, like...
Oh, had not.
I don't know if she... No, had ever done
it. Oh, right.
So I think every guy was trying to take
And she was the
girl.
Only one who was not your cousin.
And we actually did look a little bit alike around the chin.
So there's possibility.
What does that even mean?
So one night I stole my mom's car. Like, I didn't have a driver's license, and I went out after my folks had gone to sleep, my mom and my stepdad, and it was about 9:30, and I took my mom's
Your
car.
Your parents were asleep at 9:30? Yeah. Jesus.
That's a good point.
You're lame, Mom. So that's just Franca's telling you you're lame. And so I took her car, and I'd have to push it to the end of the driveway and then drive it down to this young lady's house. I picked up this young gal, and we went out to this lake, which was about 5 miles away. And there was a long road off the highway that led out to the lake, and along that road there was just a bar, and then you got out to this lake. So she and I go out to this lake, and we're standing there listening to country music and dancing, right? Slow dancing a little bit, right? Because I'm trying to pretty much get to oral sex, hopefully, yeah. If the myth is true. It's just a town myth, right? So we're sitting out there, and things are going well, you know, and she's a cute girl, and we've been a little sweet on each other. And then a car comes racing down the road and goes off the boat launch into the water, right?
Wow.
What?
Into the water, right out in front of
me. Like an action movie.
Yeah, like.
Like whoosh. The Fall Guy.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember Lee Majors. Wow.
Bounced on the, literally,
show.
It looked like it bounced in the water and then went a little further out and then started to sink. And she and I are the only people within, we had to be the only people within maybe a mile and a half where that bar was.
That's insane.
So we jumped in my mom's car and raced across this parking lot, which we were in by the lake. And we get up to the lake and the car is now fully submerged underwater. The headlights are still on. The top of the car is about 2-3 feet underwater. And it's about, I would say, 20 feet off of the bank. So she's on swim team. I remember she was like been a swimmer her whole life, right?
How
so
convenient.
I'm like, we have
you
to,
think that's true?
We have to get in and help. This is a true story. I'm like, we have to get in and do something, right? Mm-hmm. And so we run up to the edge of the dock, and she's like, all right, on the count of three, let's jump in. And I'm like, this isn't when you do count of three. Like, you
no.
don't do, like,
do it.
No, you do count of three, like when you have time, when everybody's yeah. relaxing. You yeah. don't do count of three when somebody's drowning, you know? And I'm hoping, like, whoever's in the water isn't here and us be like, well, let's do count of three, you know? Anyway, so she goes 1, 2, 3, and then I jump, and she doesn't jump. She's too scared. Or something. She's too scared to get in. And she's the freaking swimmer, right?
Yeah.
So I'm next thing you know, I'm out on top of this car. I hold my breath and I go down underwater. And the driver's side window is down. So I'm feeling around in the car and I'm feeling like the seat. And I don't feel anybody. So then I come back up and get my breath again. I go down again, and I'm feeling, and I still don't feel anything. I go back up again. I can barely hold my breath anymore. I'm so scared and nervous and everything. And I go down one more time, and it was like this was around like the holidays. And so I feel something, and I'm like, oh, my God. And it felt like a child, honestly. It felt like a child. And so I get it, and I'm – you know, get back up to the surface, and I'm like, ah, and it was a ham. It was like a Christmas ham. It was like
oh
a Christmas
my God.
Ham.
And it like a child.
It literally, it felt like a...
When I hold my two-year-old, I'll think ham later.
Like
thank
a,
you for
like
that image.
Like a fat child, and I couldn't find his arms. I'm my like, God. Maybe his arms already drowned or something. I don't know. And it had, here was the scary part was, it had like those pineapples on it, and I thought those were like the eyes, I remember. Because your senses are all askew. When you're in the water. But still, I'm like, I got this ham, right? Like,
you're a hero.
But still, we don't have the person, right? And I can't hold my breath anymore. I'm so scared. I like, so I get back over to the side.
Is Blowjob Girl still waiting for you on the
there.
Oh my God, she's
still there. And she's not even like, at least like.
She's blowing someone else by now on the side.
She's like, this guy takes people on the worst dates, right? So next thing you know, I get back up to the dock and I'm like, we need to get help. So we jump in my mom's car and we buzz down to this bar that's about a mile and a half away. I run inside. I'm like, this gray car went off into the water, right? And I'm not even joking. I still have this ham with me right now.
I was just going to ask where the ham was.
Because I couldn't. It was like this. It became like this thing. I just could not let go. So I run in with this ham. I'm like,
I wonder if ham goes bad if it's in the water for like 5 minutes or so.
That's a great question.
Kick it off. Kick it. Go ahead.
Everybody comes back. All these cars. Everybody clears out the bar. They come back to the lake. Everybody shines their headlights on the lake, and people are looking now. Now there's like 7 people in the water. People are looking. There's a bunch of gross shit floating around in the lake as well, like dead fish and stuff. And nobody finds anyone. And then me and this girl get back into my mom's car because I see police lights in the distance. I can't be here. Like I've stolen my mom's car.
Oh yeah.
So we leave. I drop her off. No blowjob apparently.
Oh. Not even for a ham?
She goes, because you're all wet, right? And I'm like, well, yeah.
And I would have liked to go skydiving anyway. Yeah. What's up?
I'm like, I'm trying to save somebody's life, you ne'er-do-well.
Wow.
And then I actually had to have a friend help me lower the car back down the garage and back into the driveway. And I didn't have the brake set on correctly. And he got in between the cars, and it broke one of his legs.
Oh, what? God.
So.
This story is unbelievable.
True story.
Okay, what happened with the
car? I never found out what happened.
Someone put like a big boulder on
I think in hindsight, that's what it seemed like because they never.
Like a little country newspaper that reported on that?
From what I heard, they never found anybody.
Maybe
but
the
I also
ham
never
was
heard
driving. The
totally,
car.
That's it. The ham was they threw the ham on the gas.
That's about as believable as the rest of the story.
That story is true 100%. I'm gonna find the young lady one of these days.
Well, she was busy blowing all the cops and everybody in the bar.
And I'm going to get that blowjob.
Anyway, okay. So
great
interesting.
Story.
Both stories involve the date.
That's my born moment.
Both stories involve food of some sort, right?
And very sensual stories.
Both stories kind of ended in heartbreak.
that's every story of our lives.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Franca. You have to pick a winner.
Well, I think both stories definitely hit the heart. Okay. I appreciated both of them. I think that you, Theo, got the hopes up a little bit high with kind of, you know, pretending there was a blowjob in this story. And it's kind of like, you know, like when I watch FX or whatever and it says in the beginning nudity, like me and my husband go like, oh, yeah. So I think I kind of had that moment a little bit and it was a tiny bit of a letdown in the end. Even though this is almost a tie, I think I have to give this round to
Mike. Wow, that's awesome.
I suggest, though, because you are a great storyteller, I suggest, you know, next time you tell it, just add a little bit here and there, and I think you got a movie there.
Wow. Yeah, that's
true. Is it a little bit like Twin Peaks-ish?
It's like a ham buddy comedy.
Yeah.
Somehow we're going to do it. Yeah, a little Twin Peaks-ish. I'm in.
Because I think that the ham was, like, left in the car, and I'm kind of like, now I want to know, like, what happened? What led to the ham in the car?
Would you like to play the ham? Or would you like to play the 15-year-old?
Honey-baked heroes. That's our honey-baked
heroes. Oh, yes. There you go.
All right. So I won that round.
And we also learned that Franca is not the best judge.
No, that's not true. She just, you know.
Matt got cake and he get.
So now we move on to round two, which is our interview segment with our wonderful guest, Franca, who, like we said, was in movies like Blow and the Bourne movies and Run Lola Run, which, again, I loved. And we are so glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
So let's start off. Okay. Now, I know this because I know you, but you, before you even got into acting and stuff, you lived in the United States as an exchange student, right?
That's right, yeah.
In Texas, of all places, which I just want to know, what was that experience like coming from Germany to Texas and living with this family and getting to see America that way?
It was crazy. It was probably comparable to if one of you guys, Theo, from a small town, would get on a plane. I think it was also my first plane ride, actually.
That's crazy.
And you get spit out in Bavaria.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the equivalent. I was ready. I loved speaking English. I couldn't wait. I didn't choose Texas. It was chosen by the, you know, whatever.
Organization.
And everyone was really friendly. And it took a while for, like, the weirdness to trickle down. I remember that I had an African-American friend, Aaron, who was in my drama class. And whenever he came over, like, it was always like, leave the door open. When he called, my host family wouldn't really tell. It was just things I couldn't piece together. There was a good amount of racism there and all these things. Yeah. But I didn't, you know, I just had no comparison. I enjoyed it. I thought things were a little bit weird. People did wear the cowboy hats and all those things. That was true.
Did you get dressed up? Were you wearing cowboy hats?
I went square dancing once with my older sister. It was, like, so weird. But it's kind of fun, you know. I mean, for me, it was just like, wow, adventure, you know?
Adventure,
it was just different.
Square dancing, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, your older sister, who was your real sister or your older host sister?
Host sister, yeah.
Wow.
That's such a brave, I mean, that's crazily brave to me to have that experience.
Yeah.
Like, most 17-year-old kids would be like, there's no way I'm even leaving my room, you know, don't even want to leave the
room. But I was also from a small town. I mean, if someone is like, you know, like, is this, you have this opportunity, what, do you want to go? You're like, yeah. You know, my dad at the time, he was a teacher/headmaster. So it wasn't always like, you know, my parents were kind of strict. So I just wanted to get out of there.
Right.
Wow. And America was really, really far. I think the furthest I'd been was to Spain. And we were driving in the car 18 hours. Yeah. So it was like, you know.
And who was like one of the first, like, when you got to America, was there an actor or actress that you saw at that point that you started to kind of idolize? Like, Or was there something about American culture that you really...
In Europe, you grow up because of dubbed television with all the, you know, American TV. What is it called? The little farm, little house in the prairie.
Oh, yeah. I love Michael Landon.
He's a huge Michael Landon fan. Yeah,
that was something that we watched. In Germany, the equivalent translation-wise would be Our Little Farm. That's what that's called.
How do you say it in German?
That was
Unsere kleine Farm.
I thought that was a Holocaust movie.
Sorry.
That's kind of a funny joke, though.
And the Fall Guy with Lee Majors that we referenced was my absolute.
What
I thought
was
that it was. Ein Colt für alle Fälle. Colt as in like, but it was like a gun for any case. Like,
wow. I just love when she talks to me.
I know.
It's like, you know that song, Talk Dirty to Me? Like, talk German to me.
Yeah, I know.
I like
German.
That. Talk German to me.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
Okay, so those were the shows. Was there an actor, like you said, that you like in pop culture or something that you were like, this is what I want to do or this is what I want to be?
No. No. Because we didn't even have a movie theater in my town. You know, it was more like you would more listen to music. And I think when early on, when I was like, you know, maybe I could be an actress, I think I was more thinking about theater because there was a theater closer by. So that was more the horizon.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Did you feel like really lucky, like you were like an American girl or something like that? Was there like an idea like that, like you were like in this?
Were you like Mary Tyler Moore going to Cincinnati?
Like free place?
Yay!
Like you were...
When I was on exchange?
Yeah. I mean, it's so wild. It's really wild.
But you know how it is, like, now in hindsight, being an adult, you might think that. But, you know, I mean, when you're, like, 17, the world is your oyster. And everything that comes towards you, you're like, yeah, of course, duh.
Right.
You know, and I was like that. You know, I remember when I was 14-ish, the wall came down in Berlin. You know, and now I know, like, huge event. But in my, like, diary, I wrote, like, Mom and Dad were, like, crying, like, over, like, some wall coming down. And then I write like 2 pages about how I really want a perm and I'm so pissed that I can't have it. Thank God, right? But what I'm saying is even at 17, maybe because of the small town background, it was all me. And I mean, like, I didn't know how much it cost for my parents for me to go there. But I was like, yeah, it's overdue. Hello. You know, and then you just kind of take it one day at a time. And that's that. Ugh, you know,
right.
That's awesome. Well, my question, I'm going to move on to Run Lola Run. How much running did you actually do, and did you get like in shape for this? Like, what was it like? I'm a runner, but there seemed like a lot of running. I mean, it's in the title twice.
True, very true. I think I probably did 5 times more running than you see in the film because I would run rehearsals, and the director wanted it like in real speed, then camera rehearsals, and I ran for sound. Because sometimes, depending on what the action was, you know, we couldn't... Anyway, they wanted to use a different microphone, so I had to run with an exterior mic that they couldn't film. I had to run for that as well.
Wow.
So it was a lot. And no, I was heavily smoking at the time.
Oh.
And the director was always like, no, Ian, it's all Euro. So I was like, it's cool. You know, we want like a real person running, not too athletic. I was like, okay, cool.
Run, Lola, run was a smoker. This is the best thing I've ever heard.
Did you turn into a runner after that?
No.
No, not got
it. No.
Next, the sequel, Walk, Lola, Walk. And then it's just, Don't Move, Lola.
Then it's Emphysema, Lola.
Yeah.
Yes. So when you leave like a movie set, I mean, you've gotten to be in some very prolific films and roles. When you leave that environment, that a movie set, is it painful kind of to leave? Like
leaving that world and that character?
Yeah. It must feel like an intense loss.
I think maybe more when I was younger. Now I have a life besides my work.
You have something to go to.
I have something to go to. And to be honest with you, like, it has also, like, the priorities have shifted. And it's probably, like, some actors would kill me if they heard me say this. But I feel like it also comes down to... It's sometimes easier to work with colleagues that have children, have a family, because they're just more grounded. There's everything that goes on in the world, in the actor world, where people are just like kind of like high maintenance and annoying. Is when they were when they're younger or they don't have the anchor to ground them. And listen, I can maybe say this because I'm saying this about myself when I was younger.
Right.
Okay, so I don't mean any harm. It's I get
been,
it. Whatever.
You've been there.
I've been there. So I will say though that the certain experiences I worked last year. God, maybe it's longer than a year. I worked on a season of The Bridge. The show, unfortunately, doesn't exist anymore.
Right?
Yeah, and I loved it so much. Like, I would go in the writer's room, and it was so awesome. And that when that was done, I was really, really, really missed that. That was awesome. I played, like, a terrible, dark, dark character. And I think it was maybe that aspect that, you know, I was a new mom of two small children that were so cute. And, blah, blah. And then on the other hand, I got to be, like, this terrible killer, like, dark person where people would be like, whoa, you're scary.
Right.
And then I was like this other person. And that's why we do this job, I guess, at the end of the day.
Exactly.
So.
To be able to let that out.
Yeah.
So I want to know, when you did come to Hollywood and started acting in these big films, and to this day, have you ever had like a story, do you have a story of your own or a moment when you just couldn't realize that this was actually happening to me? It could be something bizarre or someone you met that you were just, and you were just like, this is really...
Yeah,
or, like a story, like a, or, you know, like
a
ours
party that was obscure, something just crazy that happened.
Oh God, I'm like the most boring person on the planet. I think that I realized a little while in that I was like, God, like, you know, like I would hear things like stuff that would go on behind closed doors on set, and I was like, why wasn't I invited? Like, like people would never, like, you know, invite me to like do a line or whatever. I was probably like, that's such a waste. Don't even ask her. But I remember. God, this is also so long ago, but before I came to LA to shoot Blow with Johnny Depp, that all my friends in Berlin, they're like, oh my God, Johnny Depp, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, cool cucumber. I was like, no, come on, he's not that cute. I mean, you know, he's older. Blah. And then I do remember like being in the production office, and there he was, and he's, you know, I'm like bigger than him. It's like, oh my God, he's so tiny. And I remember him like speaking, but very soft spoken, and he got really close, and maybe he was rolling a cigarette. He looked down, and then for the first time, his big eyes just hit me, and then he has this gap in his teeth. I was like, holy fuck.
Wow.
It's like, damn, it's Johnny fucking Depp. He is cute. I was like, oh my God. And from then on, I remember, I think every time I saw him, I was so awkward, and
enamored with him? Like, what was it?
I think I just never met like a huge international movie star. There was something about him, probably also as a person. I honestly don't know. It was something magic actually about him. He was super kind, and he just had his own pace. Like, no matter what happened on set, like he would just persist like in his being. I don't know.
Wow.
Like, you know, really just a magic person.
No, I am honestly getting mildly erect there.
Yeah.
He sounds handsome, man.
No, he was just a gorgeous, cool guy. And
awesome.
I remember at some point I was just made the weird decision to not even like really talk. I played his girlfriend in the movie dies. But I was like, I don't think I'm even gonna talk to him in between takes because everyone would literally like run to him and flock to him and wanted something. And I felt just so bad for him. I was like, oh God, I don't want to be another idiot who does this.
You don't want to be that.
But he probably was like, weird German girl or something. So I don't know. That's not really a story, but it's
no,
a moment
really
I remember.
Cool.
I remember
but
that
do
moment.
Do you feel like, I mean, is it that, does he have like a look in his eyes that you feel like makes like women like swoon? It just like kind of hit like...
It was just, I mean, this sounds so cheesy, but it was an incredible kindness that you feel. He was just super nice. You know, like profoundly, like a good person sounds so terrible, but something that actually you I think it's maybe because you expect something else, and then you get this, I don't know, like personality that is like basically says, it's okay. Yeah. You and I, we're in this moment together. Hey, what's up? And he means it. Yeah. And he means it. And so, yeah, maybe it's, I don't know.
And you got to kiss him.
That too, yeah.
Yeah.
But that I don't even remember as well.
Now, so at that point then, if going into it having like that feeling, that energy around him and like, you know, that he's such a unique being kind of, and he seems like you said at his own pace and a very unique soul. Did that make that, those moments when you have to kiss even as an actress, did that make it a little more nerve-wracking? I feel like...
I think they're always kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Well, kissing's nerve-wracking, too.
I don't actually...
Unless you're a drunk kid, kissing is awkward. Kissing's for drunk children.
To be honest, in this moment, I don't really remember it. I think I was always thinking, like, let's just see what he does.
Yeah.
Right.
It's difficult, even if you do this for a couple of years. To me, there's always, like, the unspoken rule, no tongue.
Yeah.
Especially not in rehearsal.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you work with theater actors... they're like, blah, where you're like, dude, what's going on? Whoa, what's wrong with you? You know, what's wrong with you? It's like, also, like, keep those pants up, you know? Like, they just go for it.
Wait, who has slipped you the tongue? Anybody you could tell?
It's like more German people than I'm thinking about.
Oh, slippery German.
How do you say that in German? Slip the tongue.
Zungenkuss.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Why is this having an effect on Matt and I? That's what's so interesting.
This is just like a universal appeal.
The German tongue is just that.
There's something about it that I love. All right, my question. I know that you are a singer, or you did some stuff on Run Lola Run and whatnot. It's a two-part question. One, growing up in Germany, were you influenced by David Hasselhoff at all?
Yeah.
He is the king singer of Germany,
he's like
right?
His grandfather.
He was at the time. I think his stars aligned with, again, the wall coming down. I don't know what. I think he was kind of in Germany, and he had this song looking for. My perm time. have a perm. And he had the song, I've Been Looking for Freedom. And I think that he was already supposed to leave. And someone was like, hey, this thing's happening. Right. Like, would you? And he's like, sure. And that catapulted.
So did you have his poster up on your wall?
No, sorry.
Wow.
Whose poster did you have up on the wall?
I had some Euro singers, and there was like a British boy band, two twin brothers called Bras.
Ooh.
Did you ever?
Like Bras.
Bros. Bras. Look them up.
All right. And then my second question, and this was actually a social media question from Mark Ivitson, are you going to do any more records?
Oh, God, no. No, the train has passed. And I think when it was happening, I'm actually a proud owner of not only an MTV Music Award. Hey. I have no idea where it is. And
I don't know where it is.
I think it's in a... This was really like 18 years ago.
Wow.
And I think we got a golden record for the soundtrack? There was a duet with me and the rapper. Yeah.
Wow.
I wasn't into it at the time. I liked doing it. It was kind of like funny, but like people were trying to push me into that direction and they wanted me and Thomas D, the rapper, to do these stage shows and stuff. I was like, no, I'm not.
That would have been so strange, right?
I don't know. It was just like, why would I? Right. I was like a no-sayer.
Did you make a video? Did you guys?
Yeah.
There was a video?
Totally, as you can find on YouTube.
Oh, I gotta see that one. Yeah.
All right, your question, Theo.
Okay. Do you feel satisfied as an actress? Because you've had some really awesome roles.
Well, I think, like I said, the priorities have shifted. Now I'm sometimes kind of like, I guess, no. That's the honest answer. When it happens, yes, I think it's just like here there's so many great actors, and I just have come to realize, I mean, how stupid am I, that I'm kind of a niche actor, you know, because I do have kind of an accent, you know, I'm like taller and bigger than the average tiny little actress here, and all these for a lot of reasons, whatever, that I'm fine with, but that's just a fact. So it's not like I'm working nonstop. I do other stuff though. I write and I have a family and all this stuff. So at the end of the day, it's fine. And and honestly, it's kind of like I've done that, bought the t-shirt. I had like awesome years.
Yeah.
And so I'm not bitter about it. I'm kind of like thinking like, how much longer am I gonna, because I feel like I believe in focus and structure. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I need to really like shift to something else. And
are you announcing your retirement right now?
No, but that's kind of what it would sound like, I guess.
No, you've done it. You've been there and done. Yeah, I mean,
I don't mean that in a bad way, you know, it's like, God, how long can you do this?
That's good.
Right,
that's
now you have a family. I mean, but the positives being a niche is it really sets you, you know, you're one of a kind.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you ever dress up as Run Lola Run with your husband and like, to have some fun, Run Lola Run.
No, I'm going to be a seahorse for this Halloween, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm not talking Halloween. I'm just talking some sexy nights.
Oh, no, I wouldn't tell you anyway. Excusez-moi.
I have a question from Dennis John Depew, wanting to know what it was like working on American Horror Story.
Yeah, because you were on Asylum.
I was in the Asylum.
And that's such a... you know, monumental show and franchise now. And what was it like to be part of that family for a little bit? Was it cool?
I had a great time. Yeah. It was also nice to live in Los Angeles and drive to the gorgeous Paramount Studios to work every day. I remember my very first day at work was with Jessica Lange, and I had like, I think a 12-page monologue. And she just always has to be like, I think in the episode it was cut down a little bit, very jump cutty and stuff. But boy, oh boy, I did not sleep. I was so nervous because, you know, she's a very respectable actress. And I was just like a little doggy. I wanted her to throw a bone and I just wanted to bring it to her. And I wanted her to pet me on the head. You know, I just wanted her to like me and respect me. And it was really hard because I hadn't slept much. But she was so cool.
Really?
When people were like talking in the background. You know, it was my first day. You're not turning around like, excuse me. But she did that for me. She was like, can you please, come on, guys. This, wow. You know, so she was kind of protective. She wasn't like lovey-dovey with me or anything, but she was there, and I really appreciated that, and I had a great time.
Awesome.
Are some film sets really intense as compared to other film sets?
Yes. I was recently, because I'm going to be in The Conjuring 2.
Ooh.
In a small part. And I just visited actually the sets to meet those guys. And you literally walk in. And if you didn't know, it was, I don't know, would you call it a horror film? Or
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a horror film.
Yeah.
Horror film. In Germany, this is a regular afternoon.
it's Saturday morning cartoon.
You're kind of like, this is not cool. This is eerie and like gives me the chills and stuff. And these were sets where nothing even happened. Like they weren't lit or anything. So in that case, I would say yes.
Yeah.
And of course, American Horror. So
Are you excited? You're excited to do this? Because I know I've seen you in a film called Creep, which was another horror movie.
You and three other people. I love it.
And now do it. Well, The Conjuring's a great horror series. Like, are you stoked? Are you?
I'm excited because I saw half an hour of the first one. And then, honestly, I was like, I can't do this.
You get scared?
I got totally scared.
Really?
Yeah. Did you think it was?
That one's disturbing. Actually,
I saw it. Also, I think it's as being someone that would get scared.
You know, this sounds so cheesy too, but since I have kids, like I'm like a total sissy when it comes to this, and I know I will lose sleep over it. I really do. Like not forever, but I can't do it anymore. So I was like, so my husband, ever since, he's like, dude, I mean, like, you know, we should watch The Conjuring. I'm like, no, yeah. He's like, you're gonna be in one. You should. But I admitted it to the director. I was like, I'm really embarrassed to admit. But he was like, no, that's a good thing. I appreciate it. You know, he was fine with it. It was okay.
I know I'm gonna be in your movie, but I can only watch about a half hour of the first one. You're cool.
I will have to watch the second one. I mean,
let's wrap it up. This is your last question.
All right. So, with Matt Damon and you worked with Johnny Depp. I mean, there's so few actresses get to say that they got to play like the opposite lady role in these times, you know, to these men who are superstars in our time. Do you feel like, do you go into that like with ever like, I know you said Johnny Depp, there was like this aura about him, but you go into that with like this like overall nervousness? Do you go into it with like any whimsical ideas that, you know, that this man could sweep you off your feet, like as a, you know, because you're going in to play the love interest, like there's already the groundwork I feel like is already there?
No, for me, never. I always had like
a boyfriend. And I know you're very professional.
No,
as
so
well.
Boring. I always had a boyfriend. Now I'm married and stuff. Like I would.
Yeah,
never...
sorry, Matt Damon. I have a boyfriend.
And you know how it is. Like I mean, once someone, you know, you might be a little bit more excited because before you meet and before you start working, you know, you have this thing like, oh, I know you from something I read. And but the minute you start work, you level. I mean, like you have to work together and you depend on each other, and very quickly it loses any kind of that sense,
right.
Maybe that you meant. So, and I can only work like that. And you know, if you have a colleague that for some reason weirdly insists on the star stuff, that's kind of like where you're like, I can't, I'm sorry, we can't work like that,
right.
You know, that's dumb. And fortunately, like the people that I was lucky to work with, they're not like that at all,
right?
And I think that they probably have a hard time if somebody is like right. too excited for a long period of time.
Right.
I mean, you can't talk about lines or something,
right.
You know, like how are you going to do that? So
Matt Damon was cool. He's under a little heat right now for the comment he made.
What did he make?
He said a comment. He said that gay actors staying. He said it that they should stay in a closet. It was very not. He didn't mean it, and he's gotten a lot of flack. He meant it as a way that the audience they will have a harder career.
Oh,
if they did
he meant
out.
Like advice or something.
And so he's gotten a lot of flack because the gay community is like, how dare you tell us to stay in the closet, so to speak. And he referenced Rupert Everett back in the day and that his career went down. He has backpedaled and he has gone. He went on Ellen the other day and apologized because he didn't mean it that way. But he's gotten a lot of flack for
meanwhile,
it.
Millions of gay actors are staying in the closet to hope their careers go well.
It's, I mean,
they hope Matt will come and open that closet.
Yeah. Hey, hey. Look, man, it's... I mean,
I'm sure because he's very smart and critical. And I know he's, you know, he doesn't think that way.
Right,
so
of course not.
He probably meant, and it's too bad if he got misunderstood, that, you know, it is something to be said, you know, like how unfair is it that if someone has the balls to come out and inspire other people that, he, you know, the downside for that person suddenly is that they don't work that
right,
much anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what he meant. I don't know.
That's exactly, you just put it in a perfect
you know,
words.
And
100%.
That's
words.
So true.
It's so true.
We have one last fan question. So this is from Brian Morehouse. You've worked with Damon. You worked with Depp. Is what completes the trifecta for like you? What other amazing male actor would be awesome?
Who would be the third one?
I have to go with a classic, Clooney. Who wouldn't? Right?
Would.
My era. I mean, I'm old school that way.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so you can't retire until you do that. Then we'll
there
make
you,
that.
There you go.
And then, oh my God!
Please.
So hard. How would I?
The Clooney Damon Depp. Trifecta, you would be like, that's like winning the Academy Award, the Emmy Award, and the Tony.
Right.
There's probably like a very few people who have done that.
Oh, sure.
We need to get you in that class. All right, so that wraps up our round two of the interview. I got to say, Theo, very interesting questions.
Thank you.
And I have to say, Matt, very interesting questions. So you can pick a winner of that round.
Oh, God, guys, that's so hard.
That's what you got to do.
Somebody has to win everything.
I appreciated both of your questions. I thought they were both very smart and thoughtful and different. Mm. Theo used the word prolific. I like that.
Yeah. He just learned that this morning, though.
But
that
it's nice
count.
To casually throw in a big word. You know what I mean? Like, makes me feel smart. So I think this one's going to go to Theo.
All right, so Theo has a very prolific win.
Yeah.
Define prolific for me, Theo.
We're tied up. It means exactly what she thinks.
Exactly. And now we will move on to our final round three, which is the great debate.
The great debate.
We have a list of some topics, mm-hmm. but you can pick one that Theo and I will debate on.
Oh, I love it. Okay, I'm just going to pick, like, I'm just going to indulge in my guilty pleasures, and okay. I'm going to, and I don't know if you have, because of your TMZ days, maybe a little bit of advantage, but I'm going to pick the most unattractive Kardashian.
Wow.
Ooh. But you have to add to it. It's
inside or out.
Inside
or
out.
Of course.
Out.
Hey, so that's understood. That's okay. We're not that superficial.
Of course. So how it'll work is Matt will go first, and he'll have 1 minute. Then I'll get a 30-second rebuttal, and then I'll have 1 minute, and Matt will get a 30-second rebuttal, and then we'll open it up for conversation.
Oh, I love it.
All right. So my pick for the most unattractive Kardashian is an inside thing, and I think it's Kim. There's no question in my mind. I actually think the rest – it's hard picking one of them all. Even Caitlyn Jenner these days saying some negative stuff about homosexuality and whatnot.
I know.
It makes her so unlikable. But Kim, to me, is the definition of everything wrong with this country, with this business. Talentless. I don't believe she's smart by any means. She's pretty. I'll give her pretty for sure. But she is the definition of social climber. And that to me is the worst thing. I mean, even like the TMZ days, you know, getting her out. And TMZ actually created Kim Kardashian. Mm-hmm. They found her going into a club one night with Paris Hilton. But she, from sex tape, which is so orchestrated, which makes me so sick because it's so orchestrated, to the people she's dated, to the reality show. And I'm not going to knock it. She's made a career out of it. She's made money in that sense. Like, good for you. But fuck you.
Now ending with a fuck you. I like it. Okay, I'm going to go 30-second rebuttal of that. I am not a Kim Kardashian fan, but I think that she has mastered the system. You know, I think sometimes people master the system that's created around them. And I think that she has certainly done that. Even though she doesn't strike me as that, when I hear her, she's done a great job. She then has gone out and found like a rapper husband. I just feel like she's done everything. She's had her plan, and she's executed it 100%.
All right. Your turn. I want to know who you pick as the least attractive Kardashian, inside
like the
or dude. Out.
The least attractive Kardashian to me is, I'm going to go with Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Caitlyn because I think Caitlyn has really exploited the transgender community more than he or she has done a positive thing for it. I think he isn't really even 100% sure where his sexuality lies. I kind of feel like he's jumped to some conclusions, even in his own head, just for publicity and to who knows what is in his mindset or who's in his ear. Because he seems to be on the fence about a lot of things, about going through a certain procedures that would fulfill the obligations, I guess, to what he's claimed to become. And I don't feel like it needs to be that huge of a thing if someone is transgender. They shouldn't have to, you know, feel like they have to have some big show to be welcome into the world. I feel like they should just be able to be.
Oh.
And he should have just kept it subtle. He should have kept it subtle and said, I'm transgender and I'm confident and I don't need a show anymore.
Okay. My rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
First off, you kept calling her he. It's definitely she now. And I think, though I agree with you on some of the exploitation for sure, even if she helped one person, which I think is more than any other Kardashian has done.
That's actually true.
Has done in any way. Even if she helped one person, and I think she's helped many go through that struggle, then it's worth it. Even though there's the reality show and it's over the top and so forth, I agree with that. And I don't agree with her views on a lot of stuff. I think that she has helped some people.
That's a good point.
Thank you. All right. So that was the debate. We can open it up to discussion and see if you agree or disagree with any of those, and or if you'd like to throw another Kardashian into the running for the...
I would throw another Kardashian
really?
In. As a mother, I have to say that Mother Jenner / Kardashian, I think she wants to be called Kardashian again. What's her name? Chris?
Chris, yeah.
Hello. Besides a stupid haircut, I think that she's the Antichrist. She's whoring everyone out. As you can see in every episode of the show that, yes, I sometimes watch when the husband's not home. I think it's just like a negative fascination. And I, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, they make their money with that. People want to, including myself, we sometimes enjoy watching it. So that's that. That's part of entertainment. And I agree with a little bit of both of you. I think at the end of the day, my agreement would lie a little bit, would definitely fall a little bit more with Matt. It's Caitlyn. You know, kudos for like taking that, I think, choice, though. I think there's a lot to be said. I think it's a little bit difficult right now. I always find myself thinking, I wonder where this is going.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good question.
Where will the reality of things fall, you know? Like, because I do think that it's tough for a family to lose a person.
100%.
A husband and a dad to
that's
someone else.
Point.
And I don't know how much is fabricated. I don't know how much they saw this coming. Who knows what the real truth is? I think only time will show. I do agree, though. I think that transgenderism is not anything out there, like, seems we live in such fucked up times where, you know, being on air in some way, like, validates people and topics. So if that validates this topic, and I think it's absolutely valid, then, you know, I talked to like someone from a different generation like a while ago, someone close family, and we walked by a cover of a magazine, and he saw Caitlyn Jenner and only knew Caitlyn as the Olympic medal.
Bruce, yeah.
And he's like, that's disgusting. Disgusting. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, do I really get it? I just said, look, you're a different generation. Said, see, you're 2015, and this stuff is actually like
real,
and people talk about it. And, you know, sometimes you just have to pick and choose your battles. But I agree. It's something that's maybe why I picked it. I thought it was something interesting to talk about.
It is interesting because you're saying also that's kind of this being on air and whatever and the exploitation of it is kind of a necessary evil a little bit to help change minds.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's still evil, but it's a necessary evil. So honestly, I think we all picked good ones, but I think Kris Jenner might be the best one, actually. Yeah. She's the puppet master.
It is. And it's weird that that's a fam. Like, I wonder if you lay in bed at night as a child in that family, or, you know, when you were a child and thought, is this a family still, or is this something else?
Yeah, completely.
It would be interesting to hear that definition of mother, you know. Yeah. Is it a protector? Is it someone you trust? Someone you call, like, with your vulnerable concerns? I mean, she would, like, call, like, TMZ or someone else immediately and make it into money, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Hold on, really, we have Kris Jenner on the line, and she would like to... okay, so...
It was good.
We have to pick a winner of the entire podcast.
You won two rounds.
I won two rounds. Yeah. Oh yeah, I already won them.
Wow.
No,
I shouldn't even have told him you won.
Oh yeah, I won them all.
Actually, I won.
No. I think Kris Jenner was the best. She might have won that round actually. But overall, I'm the winner.
Yeah,
woo-hoo! I'll take it. How do you say? Say something to me in German, like congratulations or whatever.
Herzlichen Glückwunsch. Matt hat alles gewonnen. Er hat so viel Recht. Er ist so klug und wunderbar. Und Theo aber auch. Wow. Es war ein sehr close match.
I'm wet actually right now. You have to set me up with someone German. Do you know any young German ladies?
Why would you say young? What?
No. I mean, no, you're young, but I just mean, like, don't set me up with, like, a 90-year-old.
Ooh. Between, it's like, I'm young, and then the other is 90. Whoa.
Oh, my God. I deserve to lose.
That is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. You deserve.
I mean, there's you or 90.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I promise I'll be good to the young lady.
Wow. Okay. So maybe we'll find someone for Theo. Maybe not.
Probably not.
Who definitely gives head and no.
Yeah, huh? And who can swim. Is that too much to ask?
And who enjoys a good hand.
Who will jump into the water on three.
Yeah. And who enjoys some free ham.
A good hand. You can never go wrong with a good hand.
Hey, who needs a man who can bring home the bacon, huh?
Hey.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is there anything you got that you want people to see or hear? We know you've got The Conjuring 2 now.
Okay.
And that'll be out.
We have to do that. We have to, like, make that
press.
That's still a while away.
Yes, a while away. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'll put it on our calendar to post it for sure.
Exactly. Anything else you got coming out?
Nothing.
Nothing? All right.
Nothing.
Just being a great mom and keeping your options open. We look forward to seeing you in a bunch more stuff. And thanks for keeping us entertained.
Thank you. You kept me entertained. So.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by. We love you.
Yeah. You're lovely.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank
Listen
you.
To the. We'll see you next time.
Damn, I lost.
Awesome. That was so fun.